This feast of Corpus Christi was established in 1264, and it was at the suggestion of St. Thomas Aquinas to the Holy Father, because we already celebrated the institution of the Eucharist on Maundy Thursday, but so often it's overshadowed by the commemoration of Jesus being taken away and his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. So the focus of this feast, by the initial intention, is joy. To focus on what was given to us that will never be taken away. So our readings tell us that the Eucharist puts Christ's death in a positive light, something that we proclaim until he comes, because we point to his victory. As St. Paul tells us, recounting the words of Jesus, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." In this way, the Eucharist energizes us, and it moves us. The movement is first a gathering in to the Father, then adoring in the Mass and in benediction, but then ascending forth to proclaim the gospel. It's all about movement of a people of God who have been energized to return and go forth. Let's first consider briefly this gathering. What we're commemorating today is nothing less than the birth of the church. Perhaps you've more often heard of Pentecost being referred to as the birthday of the church, because the Spirit came, and then we have this Trinitarian fullness, the church being animated and energized by the Spirit of the living God. But just as much, when the disciples first gathered in that upper room, where they later received the Spirit, they were incorporated into his body. Yes, this was confirmed and completed at Pentecost, but Pentecost only came once in history, that rushing in, that incorporating of the church into the Spirit. But now we access that Trinity, we are incorporated into that Trinity daily through the Eucharist, and today as we gather the people of a God, the people of God, to come before him. Pope Benedict XVI unpacks this point for us. He tells us that the Eucharist and Pentecost together are the origin of the church. This is the gathering together, the making of the church. The church, he says, can exist only because she is Christ's organism, because she comes from him. But she can exist only because this organism is animated by Christ's Spirit. The Spirit is the Spirit of Christ's body, and in it he is Spirit made flesh again and again. So each Sunday is a new birthday of the church as we're gathered together, energized anew, and celebrate that inauguration of Christ's body continuing on earth. So that's what we're celebrating with joy today, above all. So that's the movement of gathering. And this gathering of the movement is through Jesus to the Father. And which raises the question, however, then why, if it's all about movement, why do we stop to adore? You know, there is a moment of adoration in the Mass when the body and blood are elevated for us, but it's only brief. For many of us, just all too brief. And so the practice of adoration was what came about around the time of the Feast of Corpus Christi, so that we can pause, consider that what we've received. Not because the Eucharist is static, not because we stop, but so that we can appreciate more deeply what we have, so that we have more power to move. Here I want to quote Pope Benedict a little bit more, at a bit more length, to appreciate what it means to be recollected, to be energized and strengthened for this movement, this Trinitarian movement, to the Father and then sent out. He tells us, here we are led another step further. Only someone who is recollected can collect, can then in turn gather others to this place. Someone who is torn, who lives superficially, is scattered amidst all the distractions of everyday activity. Someone who has no interior unity, but is torn apart by all the pressures and strains that pull at us, how is he, the unrecollected man, supposed to be able to collect, to be an agent of God's gathering in the world, so to speak? Only someone who has recollected himself and has the habit of recollection can convey recollection to others, can radiate that peace and inner unity, which in turn recollects and unifies. So the purpose of adoration is to be recollected so that that movement can continue, so we can be a gathering agent in the world. And how, well, no better place to be recollected but in the adoration of the Eucharist. Recollection, the Holy Father continues, means emerging from distractions, seeking the laborious path leading to the center. Gathering is the transition into what unites us all that we experience, yes, in adoration. We experience today, and then we continue later as we go out to St. Mary's in procession. Back to Holy Father. Gathering means entering at that point where men are one with each other and can touch each other in the first place, at the point where God is in man's heart, the ground and unity of us all. Gathering means going down through the disturbances and distractions to this unifying center, and this cannot happen without self-control, the patience that seeks this center again and again. So we're continually drawn to this gathering so that we can be sent out, that continual movement, that Trinitarian movement to the Father and out, the Spirit animating us all as we are incorporated into Christ's body. And so one might note, well, in my own readings, I will tell you that the Eastern Church doesn't fully understand this adoration because they understand this point of movement, the way the Eucharist was first understood and still understood, and movement to the Father and being sent out. But the adoration understood in this context serves that movement, so it is an appropriate and helpful development in the church that we engage in today. And so that leads us to the sending. Having been reminded of who we are, the church is called out, ecclesia, where we get the word for the church, to being called out and gathered, set apart. And so that we continue that movement today, with as the liturgy brings us outside our doors. It doesn't end here. The liturgy, there's no dismissal today. The liturgy continues outside our doors. In a certain sense, this is what always happens. Ita, Misa, Est. Go forth in peace. The liturgy continues with our lives, but much more specifically today. This movement is the nature of the Eucharist, one grand movement to the Father with the Son and the Holy Spirit, empowering the church, which brings us back to the proclamation. When we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes to us at the altar. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ is present to us today. And then we proclaim that death as we lay down our lives every day of the week. Again, St. Paul, he receives something and gives it to us so that we can receive it and give it to others. For I received from the Lord, he says, what I also delivered to you. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Strengthened, animated, moved with joy for the proclamation of the victory that is through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. To bring home that Trinitarian nature, I just want to conclude with how the Eucharist incorporates us into the Trinity. As we go out into St. Mary's Park today, we're going to go by a fountain. And that fountain, I first heard about this fountain at a meeting of the Seton Hill Community Association, and they're complaining that the fountain was stopped up so much. They had this beautiful fountain they had installed there in the park, but how can they keep it flowing? And that is the case of fallen humanity. As the Father in the creation of the world poured out the creation, the Son giving us the world as the basin, so to speak, to receive the Spirit hovering over the waters. So the fountain is the continual movement which can be likened to the Trinity. But what happens so in a fallen world is the fountain is stopped up. That gift of giving of the Trinity, that movement of self-giving, when we don't carry that forward, when we become self-absorbed, then that flow of God into creation and recreation ceases. But the Eucharist, in such a way, we're incorporated into the Trinity sacramentally. And through this, the fountain flows again. The fountain flows in the world as God's creation becomes recreation, renewal, and his kingdom goes outside these doors into all that we do. The fountain flows again through the Eucharist. St. Catherine of Siena loved this Trinitarian nature of the Eucharist, as she had her own analogy where she refers to feasting at the Eucharistic table. As we feast on our picnic today, it'll be a natural table. And as I like to say, the natural food is also communion with God, because all food is a source of life. God is a source of all life. But the primary understanding of this is the Eucharistic table, of which any other food is a shadow. And so she refers to this Trinitarian nature in this brief poem that I'll share with you before I conclude. And by the light of most holy faith, I shall contemplate myself in you, says St. Catherine. And I shall clothe myself in your eternal will. And by this light, I shall come to know that you, eternal Trinity, are table and food and waiter for us. You, eternal Father, are the table that offers us as food the Lamb, your only begotten Son. He is the most exquisite of foods for us, both in his teaching, which nourishes us in your will, and in the sacrament that we receive in Holy Communion, which feeds and strengthens us while we are pilgrim travelers in this life. And the Holy Spirit is indeed a waiter for us, for he serves us this teaching by enlightening our mind's eye with it and inspiring us to follow it. And he serves us charity for our neighbors and hunger to have as food souls. And the salvation of the whole world for the Father's honor. So we see that souls enlightened in you, true light, never let a moment pass without eating this exquisite food for your honor. And so today, as we process, we'll go past one image of the Trinity, the fountain, to another, to the table of feasting, even as we move to adore, to be recollected, so that this movement continues in our lives. From one grace to another, the pouring forth of the Church into the world, as we in turn become servers at the Eucharistic feast.